Good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru, and I'm so glad to be able to be with you and those of you who are listening. I appreciate it greatly. You know, I'm sitting down here in Greenville, Tennessee, in the middle of a car dealership, thinking about you, thinking about the impact that what we do as business owners, marketers, because that's part of the role that we have as a car dealer, is we have to be marketers. We have to promote ourselves. I mean, you see a lot of that, right, during Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. You might see a lot around sporting events, ball games and stuff, and that's what I'm talking about is TV. You know, there are many other ways that we attack the market. And, you know, and it is an attack. It's a battle plan. It is a strategery involved there because we – I know that's not a word. But I think George Bush coined that phrase, strategery. I like it, though. I use it a lot. But anyway, we have a role that we play, and that's as an advertiser, a marketer, because we have to get the word out. We have to try to accomplish one of two things in our advertising. One is to influence people who are in the market right now, and the other is to influence people who aren't in the market right now but will be at some point. When you think about it, eventually – just about everybody is going to be in the market for a car. And, you know, they may not be now, but you want them to think about you when they are. So how do you do that? That's called top-of-mind awareness. So how do you occupy that position in somebody's brain? Well, you have to be where they are. You know, you have to actually have your TV commercial running at exactly the time that they are sitting in front of the TV. And, you know, that's really hard to do. Advertising has changed so much over the years. 40 years ago, if I wanted to reach you, I'd take a stab in the newspaper. Of course, if I'm advertising in the Greenville Sun with a total circulation of, I don't know what it was back then, probably 20,000 people. It's much less than that now. Then I'm going to have a hard time reaching somebody in Kingsport or Johnson City because they don't read the Greenville Sun. So how else am I going to get out there? Well, back then I would run a television commercial. And see, at that time there was public television, and then there were three network channels, ABC, NBC, and CBS. So I had to pick WKPT, WCYB, or WJHL in Johnson City to run an advertisement. Then I had to make sure that it was run at the right time where most people are going to be watching. Now, everybody doesn't watch soap operas. I know I'm unique. No, I don't watch soap operas. But everybody doesn't watch the news. Everybody doesn't watch Wheel of Fortune. So you've got to be there at certain times to interact with certain TV watchers. But you're never going to get everybody, are you? And that's really not the goal to get it. Well, that'd be a nice goal, but it's not realistic. Or you could advertise on the radio. Well, do you advertise on country? That's going to be a certain demographic. Certain people are going to be listening to country. WXBQ, for example. They don't like for me to say that on this radio station. I won't call any names, or unless it's WQUT, okay, because, and WJH or JCW. That's what we're on right now. You know, if I want to reach people who like to listen to talk radio, then this is a good place to be, right? If I want to be with country western, then I go someplace else. Rock and roll, you know, like, you know, you want to be where people like to listen to Lynyrd Skynyrd or Marshall Tucker Band or whoever else. Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Probably not that. But you've got to be on somebody that plays classic rock. Soft rock, we've got to be someplace else. So you've got all these, you can see how difficult it is and how much money you would have to spend to be able to be noticed. So radio, TV, you got to hit all the stations if you want to hit all the different demographics. But you're still going to miss somebody. Well, this thing has changed a lot now because we no longer are so reliant on the television, much less reliant on radio. Radio has become extremely fragmented. Because people listen to stuff that's on their iPhone. You know, they may be using Apple CarPlay or listening to one of the internet radio stations like iHeartRadio. And then you look at TV. How many TV stations do you have on your cable? I don't know how many I have, but I know the number goes up in the 1400s. And I guess a lot of those are music channels. But, I mean, where do you advertise? Do you advertise on HGTV? I watch that sometimes. The Food Network, I've been watching that a lot. You know, sports, ESPN or Fox or CNN or where do you go? You know, network TV. So it's very hard to figure out where to be. So in many cases, you have to be at many different places at the same time. And the new reality, though, is that the place where I need to be in my as an advertiser, or where anybody that wants to get your attention needs to be, is on your handheld device. And when you jump around on the internet and go different places, then our smiling faces need to be there as well. For example, when you go on YouTube and you're looking at a YouTube video, you're going to have to endure an ad from somebody. And I buy time on YouTube. And whenever you click on my ad, that costs me money. And that's okay because I'm trying to get your attention. Facebook marketing is another place where you'll see a lot of ads served up to you. I want to tell you about one that's kind of crazy, and it's called geofencing. Do you realize that you're being geofenced? Okay, so I was in the mall in Knoxville, and I'm walking around. My wife is off somewhere shopping. I think she went to Sephora, or Pottery Barn. And I decided I wasn't going to do that. So I was just walking around and I think, you know, I might go in the Apple store. All of a sudden, bing, my phone gives me a message. And it's Apple saying, we've got these specials come into the Apple store. And I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. Did this phone just read my mind? No, it's actually called geofencing. What is it? Well, geofencing is a location-based service in which some app on your phone or some other kind of software program uses radio frequency identification, Wi-Fi, GPS, or cellular data to trigger some type of a marketing message. That's what happened to me. I'm walking down the mall. That phone didn't go off from Apple because I thought about Apple in my head. No, it went off because I was close to the Apple store. They had put a geographical fence around so many hundred feet of their store. And anybody that walks in to that area that has previously searched an Apple store for some reason or another, they serve up an ad to you. Now, that's somewhat disturbing, but it's happening all the time. Matter of fact, that Sephora store that I was telling you about, they're really good at that. We actually do that now. My advertising agency, they're smart people, and they said, Lenny, we need to do a geofencing campaign. And I said, and this is before I knew what this was. I said, well, what the heck is that? And how much does it cost? And then they told me what it was and how much it cost. And I said, well, that sounds interesting. So if somebody is in Johnson City, let's say I am a Nissan dealer, of course, and somebody goes up to, let's say Kingsport, and they get within, 500-600 yards of a competing Nissan dealer. Well, you know, the program doesn't know that they're going to turn into the Nissan dealership. They don't know that. But as they drive by, boom, if they're on their phone, guess what's coming up? An ad from Gateway Nissan. Now, that's kind of scary. But what that is that's called it's probably not called extremely, but it is very targeted advertising. Targeted to people who may be in the market for a car. Now, you can actually geofence an address so that they don't, you know, if they actually turn onto the lot and they go onto their cell phone while they're on that lot at that competing dealer, they're going to get an ad from me. That's kind of sneaky. But that's the way it works. That's what geofencing is. And this is what we have to do now because people are so focused on that little cell phone of theirs. And the statistics bear that out. I'm going to go over those here in just a second. I'll be right back. Okay, folks, I will admit that I was I don't know if you call it a victim. I was a recipient of targeted, location-based targeted ads. before I really realized what they are. And once I understood what they are and how they work, then I said, okay, well, that's a great way to advertise to a targeted audience, to particular people. And particular people who happen to be thinking about buying my particular product. So that's why we do it. And plus, some of these statistics are kind of interesting. Mobile ads with geofencing have double the click rate, which means that when somebody sees it, they click on it. And it's about double what other types of internet advertising produce. Geofencing is also compatible with 92% of all smartphones out there, so it's really kind of hard to avoid it. Now, if you still have a flip phone, you're safe. The average consumer spends 5 hours a day on their mobile device. Have you ever checked your usage time? You know, my wife and I argue about that sometimes. You're on your phone too much, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, you're on your phone a lot too. And it's really easy for me to sit there. I admit it. I usually have my iPad or my phone on my lap when I'm watching TV. And, you know, when there's a commercial break and I can't, you know, zip through it really quick because I'm not on Netflix, then I'm picking up my phone and I'm looking at what's on it. You know, what has changed in the world in the last 38 seconds? I know, it's a sickness. I'd like to get over it. I need to just get a flip phone. That would solve a lot of problems. 5 hours a day, that's a lot of time. 71% of consumers prefer a personalized ad experience. Now, what is that? Well, I guess that's one that applies to your life. You know, if all I ever received from a clothing standpoint were, I guess, targeted advertisements from Eddie Bauer, let's see what else. Orvis would be one. Land's End and some kind of a shoe store. That would probably be enough for me because I really don't like buying clothes and I really don't go through any other catalogs or go through any other stores. When I go to a mall, you will not see me in a clothing store browsing around. That, you know, if I want a pair of jeans, I'm probably going to the Lucky Brand store. Even though the jeans are already about half worn out when you buy them, they're just really comfortable and they fit me well. You know, and I'm not buying any pants from anybody else but Orvis. I know jeans are pants, but dress pants, they're coming from Orvis. Why? Because they fit. I never have to worry about whether they're going to fit or not. So I'm loyal to certain brands, and I don't need to see any other ads from anybody else, but boy, they'll serve them up to you. If you get on their hot list some way, then that's what's going to happen. Let's see. 3 out of 4 consumers complete an action after receiving a message when approaching a specific location. So what they're saying is that it works. It works. You know, it actually gets people to act. Now, some of them are actually going to just blow you off and unsubscribe or whatever. I don't know how you unsubscribe to a text. I guess you just block the caller, but if it's an email, then you can unsubscribe. And 53% of shoppers visited a retailer after receiving a location-based message. Now, that is a powerful number, 53%. And it's probably because they were targeted. You know, if you're driving onto a car lot, you're either there for service or to buy a car. And if you get an ad served up to you, from another Chevrolet dealer, and you just drove onto Champion Chevrolet's lot, then you were geofenced. That was a targeted marketing, and somebody paid for that privilege to do that. I know it's sneaky, but it works. Okay, so geofencing is a very targeted approach when you are at the, you know, getting really close to the purchase decision. You know, marketing in the car business, and really any kind of business, is about something called the marketing funnel. You know what a funnel is, right? It's really wide at the top, and it narrows as it goes down and gets to a point where, you know, just a little itty-bitty hole down there. Now, the wide funnel is basically, as you move down the funnel, you are increasing the purchase intention. In other words, your desire to buy grows and you get closer to making a purchase decision at the bottom of the funnel. At the top of the funnel and even outside into, you know, space, People are out there, and you're not even thinking about buying a car. That's the farthest thing from your mind. You just bought one, you know, a year ago, and everything's cool. You don't need a new car. It's not on your mindset. So you're just out there. Do we need to advertise to those people? Well, that's what a lot of television advertising that car dealers do. It's just to plant that seed and to get on their shopping list when they do get into the funnel. You know, all of a sudden you decide, hey, honey, I think we ought to get a new car. You're crazy, you know. So obviously it's not, they're not together yet, but at some point she's going to win or he's going to win, and they're going to start this shopping process. And so what do they do? Well, sometimes they'll go online. That's the thing. But where are they going to go? Who are they going to shop? That's what all that advertising has been for, a lot of TV advertising, a lot of radio advertising, where it's not very specific, you know, where they're not saying, buy a Honda Civic for $149 a month. You know, that's designed to get somebody that's in the market for a Honda Civic, right? But if they're saying something like, buy from Johnson City Honda, we are the dealer that everybody loves, you know, that is more, that's not a message that is designed to get you to come right in and buy a car, because that's not really motivational. It's just, you know, it's so that when you think Honda, you think Johnson City Honda. Now, everybody, if you go around and you ask everybody, just maybe do a walk around in the mall and say, okay, if you were going to shop for a car, which dealer would you choose? Well, most people are going to think brand first, aren't they? They're going to think, well, what kind of car am I going to choose? That's what's going to determine what dealer they choose. But if they are a Honda buyer, I can guarantee you that the guys at Honda of Kingsport want to be first on the list. Now, if you live in Kingsport, they may be first on your list. But over the years, if you never saw a Kingsport Honda advertisement, they may not even be on your radar. But you've seen all of these Johnson City Honda commercials, and you just keep hearing that in your head, Johnson City Honda, Johnson City. You know, you keep hearing that, Mr. Trujillo, and, you know, he does that. He's very consistent with that. And you know why? He wants you to think of him. Just like Mitch Walters. What's the friendship hook? We're dealing. I love those guys. Dustin's doing it now, his son. But they stick with that. You know, you think about Tim Copenhaver. How do they do that? Or Steve Grindstaff, straight talk, straight from the boss. You know, all of those are little hooks, little phrases that they're hoping will stick in your mind. And when you get in the market for a car, you've got a list in your head. If you want a Chevrolet, you want Bill Gatton on the top of the list. And then maybe Tim Copenhaver at Champion Chevrolet or something. So they're fighting for position and ownership, and just they're trying to rent space in your brain, so that if you get in the market, that you'll think of them. And that's kind of what marketing, that part of marketing does. You've got to have that long-term perspective. Now, some dealers just eschew that completely. They're not really trying to come up with a catchphrase and do any kind of generic advertising. It's just always, they're always having a sale. You know, you'll notice that a lot of dealers do that, is just every month it's a different sale. And that's true. I mean, and you think, well, they just had a sale last month and the month before that. What you have to keep in mind is that at different times, you know, people come into the market. Not everybody is in the market when you are. Last month, there were certain people in the market. They went and bought. This month, somebody's, you know, going to have a discussion around the dinner table with their husband and wife and say, hey, let's buy a car. All of a sudden, they start paying deep attention and they get into that funnel and start working their way down. So as they do, they're gathering information. People used to travel around from dealership to dealership, right? They would go look at cars. They might go on a Sunday, so nobody would bother them. Good luck with that now. But so they would actually walk around, look at cars, and then they might go in during operating hours and go on test drives and things like that. But they never actually saw anything about the car other than in a newspaper ad or heard about it on the radio or something like that. That's not the way it is today. People use the internet. 98% use the internet. Now, you might say, well, that's impossible. There's people that don't even have computers. Yeah, but they know somebody who does. And a lot of those grandmas and grandpas are saying, are talking to their grandkids, say, hey, I'm thinking about buying this. Well, let me do some shopping for you online. And those kids get on there and dissect everything and pull up, you know, print off pages, and they build vehicles online. There's so many neat things that they can do. And then they get to the point where they either submit an inquiry to the dealership or they just go down there. You know, the problem that I have with internet and with any kind of advertising, as I've said, is the disclaimer. You know, what does the fine print say? And that's where so many people get caught. I just get so frustrated when you try to do it right, and then you have people who don't care anything about doing it right. They just want to sell cars and make as much money as they can. I want to make money. I mean, that's what I'm in business for, right? But, you know, I don't have to deceive people to do it, and I think you're – I was looking at a dealership in I can't remember. It was outside of New York City. And there was a Google review about that dealership, and they said, you know, the internet price – I went in and bought a car. The next day I looked online, that car was still on there for $5,000 less than I'd paid for it, and the dealer told me to stick it. I just can't imagine that. I think whether you shop online or, you know, see an advertisement in the newspaper or drive in the dealership, the price should be the same. But everybody doesn't agree with me. So I'm going to take my last break, and I'll be back here in just a second. Well, thank you for listening to this edition of My Car Guru. You know, advertising is a big part of any business, and getting your message out, your philosophy, and so much goes in one ear and out the other. Just as a consumer, just don't believe everything you see as far as pricing is concerned. There's a caveat there, and you probably can't see it or hear it. Like if you're listening to a radio ad, you won't hear it because they go, you know, like that. If you are watching a television commercial, the print is so small and goes by so fast, you don't know what that $149 a month is. And you go in to try to buy that car, and it's not $149 a month, it's $449 a month, and nobody can tell you why there's a difference. So just, you know, do business with people that you know and trust, and I think you'll be a whole lot better off. Thank you again for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on the next edition of My Car Guru.